What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Happy Wednesday, Second Printers, Second Print Nation. We want to tell you before we get into today's episode about a very special offer that is available until the end of January. You can get two free months on the Second Print Patreon. No better time to hop on than right now. Two free months. And you'll also get, if you're one of the next two people to sign up, a free graphic novel delivered directly to your house. You might even get two if you're the next person, because you'll get X-Men Inferno collection from our friend Eric. So there's just no better time at any level you join. If you join at an annual level, you will get two free months, a 16% discount, and a couple of graphic novels possibly sent your way if you hurry up and act now. So don't forget, head over to patreon.com/secondprintpod to check that out.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Second Print Comics Podcast, starring Mark Claire and Rimzo Martinez.
Welcome, Second Print Nation. It is I, one of your illustrious hosts of the marvelous Mark Claire. It is another Wednesday, and that not only means that it is Second Print Comics Day, it's also, in, for some companies anyway, still Comic Day. This is actually the fourth Wednesday of the month, which means it is our potpourri episode, where we just basically shoot the shit about whatever it is that is on our minds in the world of comic books and comic book related TV and movie properties. This is the part where I would normally introduce my partner in comic book crime, the ever-loving, the Ramblin' Man himself, Rimzo Martinez, but he is a little under the weather currently. Not only is he coming off of his bachelor party, but it's rumored he may have a second case of the COVID, which he's already defeated once, so I'm not worried at all. But in his stead, I have found a very special guest. He is our good friend, Jim Werner, from the Weird Science Comics Everything Podcast, DC Comics Podcast, Marvel Comics, Star Wars, everything. Jim.
All those things. Yes, I'm good. I think I'm going to go for joyful Jim Werner. I'm going to go with that for my deal. It's not going to last.
You do always have a jovial tone, even when you're ranting and raving and very upset about a book. It always comes across somehow in a positive manner, at least to me. But maybe because I'm a sourpuss too.
Maybe that's true. Maybe I'm just not as sourpuss as you. Maybe that's the deal. I'm just that slightly higher deal. But I'll try to be jovial, especially since we tried recording this earlier and it didn't work out. The peek behind the curtain, the last time we did it, it might have been 10, a.m. our time, maybe a little later.
It was about 10 hours ago.
I had just woken up at that point, too, because I've been having problems sleeping. So I'm a little more awake now. I'm raring to go now.
I was wide awake this morning because I did something that I haven't done in a while, but we have a pool in this complex that we're staying in now. So I actually got up, got a little sweat working, drank a coffee, dipped in the pool and got out right in time for the podcast.
Nice.
So I was so I was so fresh, and now I'm not quite sure. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, you're not now. I was afraid you were going to say meth or something there. I actually got real scared. I'm like, I don't know where he's going with this. Yes, that's the later times.
You have to be at a much higher Patreon level to get meth.
Exactly. That's crazy. But yeah, I'm a little more awake now, though. I'm not feeling that great either. So shout out to Remzo. But I have pretty much guzzled some NyQuil. That's about as crazy as I get.
You do reference the NyQuil. It seems to be quite
all
a
the
go-to
time.
For you.
I don't know what it is. It tastes like crap, and I don't drink, but that's what happens. It's almost like that's how I end up getting drunk on NyQuil.
NyQuil is your beer.
And
it's
life.
Your beer after work.
Yeah, I just sit there. I'm there, you know, watching the game with my bottle of NyQuil there, just swigging it and stuff like that. But yeah, it's cool being here. I wish it was better circumstances than having Remzo not feel well. But I like to think that it's more from the bachelor party. So I will go with that. Yeah, maybe they just go, you know, hand in hand. Maybe it's,
having been
you
to
know,
Vegas a number of times, I know from our previous attempt at this conversation that you're not a Vegas guy, but you've been to Atlantic City.
I've been to Atlantic City.
You know, it's the same thing. You know,
Yeah. Oh, I know what goes on, but Vegas to me is like times 50 because if you're going to go to Vegas, you're going to get a little crazy anyway. So yeah, that's not really my scene. Even Atlantic City, that's a little too much for me. Plus, I'm cheap, so that really throws me off, you know. So I'm there with the old ladies, you know, doing some dime stuff. I don't even know anymore what I would do if I went to Atlantic City, let alone Vegas.
You maybe tell I them could about see. Your comic book podcast, Jim.
That's maybe what I would do. I just do that and maybe, you know, try to find, is Tom Jones playing at the moment or some crazy. I was going to say like Engelbert Humperdinck, but, you know, I wanted to get more current with Tom Jones for all the young kids out there, right? But yes, I'm happy to
be here.
Is
Engelbert still alive?
I don't know. I think that he might be dead. So
we have a thing like Remzo a few weeks ago. He thought George Perez was dead and just acted like he was. And
oh my goodness!
We later found out he was alive, but then a week later we found out he had terminal cancer. So
yes.
It was really quite a roller
really,
coaster.
That is a roller coaster. That's crazy. But
it's been a rough few weeks.
Engelbert Humperdinck. He may be if he isn't dead, he hasn't been doing much lately. So I would assume that he might be dead, but we'll find out. I'll look later. Yes, R.I.P. Engelbert. Yeah, well, I mean, seriously, anybody named Engelbert. See, there's not many left. So, you know, that's a gem right there.
As is often SBC style, we'll do our research after the show's over.
Yes, then that's basically how. And I just got done. Yeah, I just got done doing our pop culture podcast with Eric on our thing. And that requires no research at all and usually is us confused the whole time. So I'm used to that. That's always something going on.
Well, that's actually perfect. Maybe it's actually perfect that you did that podcast before we had to circle back to this, because as I mentioned earlier, today is the Potpourri episode where we just kind of talk about whatever's on our mind in the world of comics and such. So before I dip into maybe we'll hit on some of what you discussed with Eric on the pop culture show. But for anybody who may not be fully aware of what you do at Weird Science, maybe give the Cliff Notes version of how, because you're similar to me in the sense that your current iteration of your fanhood anyway kind of came a little bit later in life. And that
exactly,
here you are, just like me, hosting a comic book podcast. So how did this all start for you?
Exactly. Yeah, I ended up jumping on comics at the New 52. Like I mentioned earlier, like you said, the idea that number ones, that's for me. I couldn't jump into something that, you know, Action Comics 383, just ends up, like, I don't know what's going on. I get confused. And, I mean, I didn't even say earlier, one of the other things going on is we have a comic book store in town, kind of in town, and the guy who runs it's a real asshole. Part of my French, but
shocker.
It was like
it
this
happens.
Sort of thing where if you go in and you would ask something of this guy, he would just make fun of you. And that happened one time only, and it was actually me trying to get on. Now again, it's kind of a canceled thing here, so I don't want to say, but it was the X-Men run of Joss Whedon that I actually was interested in reading. Had no idea what it was called. I just heard he was doing X-Men. I went into the store and the guy made fun of me. So I never went back for years. But that kind of told me I'm on my own. But on my own means that I had no idea until something popped up that I heard, oh, they're starting with number ones. It's all new. You don't really have to know all this. So I was in and I ended up loving it. And people talking about the New 52 and really right now, I mean, it's kind of cool to yell of how awful it was and whatnot. I really liked it. It did end up, you know, getting bad by the end, but everything does. So since then, you know, I'm all in.
That is the lesson in comics. No matter what kind of reset we get, no matter how awesome a storyline is, no matter how hot a company is, it will always get worse. It'll always be bad.
Exactly.
Don't worry.
And so with the Dan DiDio New 52, he wanted new readers to go in. That was me. I jumped in. Somebody who I do the podcast with, Eric, he jumped off. He ended up the New 52. He said, screw that. They're screwing all my stories. He left. But then I kind of convinced him. He told me about it. I read the stuff, then had to convince him to read it then. And then we just decided to do a website and then a podcast. I told him right away, every website has a podcast. Come on. And he just kept telling me nobody would want to hear us talk. And I just kept saying, you know, we could give it a shot. And he wouldn't do it. It took like 2-3 years. For me to convince him to do a podcast.
I really need more time away from my wife. Please give this to me.
Exactly. And so we ended up starting that 7 years ago. And legitimately, I mean, we haven't taken a week off yet. It has been since the second week of the podcast. We have done it for 7 years straight and haven't taken a week off. So I'm very tired. Is what
especially because I mean, when I first found you guys, you were, I think you were, I don't know how I ended up listening to them, but because you guys were pumping out 8 and 9 hour podcasts, like they were nothing and never missing a beat. And it's a hell of a feat because Remso and I have trouble getting together for an hour, hour and a half every week.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you guys do it, but I guess the math probably helps.
Maybe it did. And maybe some cocaine. I'm not NyQuil. Sure. But yes, NyQuil actually. At one point we actually had a couple like months in a row where every episode was over 12 hours. So, and people just think that they don't even realize like, it's like, that has to be a mistake or whatnot. And it was. And we would start at 7 p.m. and we would record just till 7 a.m. the next morning. And usually at points, not even stopping, we would just do it and just get goofy and stuff like that. So those days are kind of over. I mean, last week we had a 5 hour podcast, which was still pretty long, but it did feel like, that's kind of just, you know, getting started. But, you know, that's insane, though. We realized that 12 hour podcasts aren't the way to go, but we did it for a while. So we ended up. But then again, at that point, DC had 22 books coming out each week. It was insane the amount of books they had. Not all of them good, I'll tell you that. But yeah, it was fun, though. And it's something now. It's like I do when you say that, I do get proud. I'm like, oh, my, look at me. And so, you have to have something. Everybody needs their thing. We were just insane. But yeah, so here we are, though. We won't go 12 hours, I would guess. Maybe me and you will keep going.
It might have been 12 hours since we first started.
That is the case. That is the case. We'll just count that as the way we do it.
Right. Well, I kind of had like a reverse of that experience with DC, because when I first started kind of getting back into comics, like I kind of got into the Marvel stuff first because the Marvel Unlimited app was out. And I was like, OK, for $6, I can read pretty much every Marvel comic ever. So I went back and read all the old stuff, read some newer stuff that had happened in my sort of dark period when I wasn't really reading much. And then it was that when I tried to get into the DC stuff, when I started, like, I stopped popping to a comic store and I see everything says New 52 on it, and I'm kind of confused. Like, some of the characters look different but the same. Superman's wearing jeans. I don't know what's going on. So kind of like Eric, it kind of kept me away for a while. It was only when they came out with Rebirth, which you guys did a review of, that really got me excited about it. It sounded like, only are they going back to a lot of the characters that I grew up with, like Wally West was my Flash, for example, but it also just, again, a number one. Like, I'm a sucker for a number one like you. Like, I need to feel like I have a beginning point, and it's those are the books I end up staying with for a long time when I get on from a very early point and just kind of stick with them from there. But yeah, like, I can't, like you, I can't just like pick up Lobo number 7 and just, you know, see where we're at.
Yeah, it screws me. And we even have, you know, some podcasts that we do some back issue stuff and things like that. And that even bothers me still, because you end up like Legion of Superheroes, you know, 3. I'm like, there's no way I'm reading 300, you know, issues of Legion of Superheroes. But still, it does throw me off. And that's the thing. Some of those number ones, and even with the New 52 and with Rebirth, like, they did a good job of getting you on board. Even some new number ones is just a new creative team and you still end up maybe confused of things. But I thought both of those did a really good job. Again, both kind of tailed off after a bit, had some issues. They always do. And that's the problem. But that's, like you said, the roller coaster of it. And I think right now we're kind of due for another roller coaster deal, because at the point right now, I think that DC has a little bit of a problem and not having a coherent vision, you know, behind all these books and things like that. But I'm Joyful Jimmy, so I'm not going to go too much into that. Joyful Jimmy. But yeah, that's just something that ends up. And I sit there, and that's the weird thing about it, is I sit there and I'm, my wife, Tanya, she's like watching TV or something, and I'm just sitting there, like, what are you thinking of? I'm like, well, I'm actually thinking that DC right now needs a face of the company like Dan DiDio, but Dan DiDio, not him, but somebody new. And she's like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. And she just turns the TV up or something. But yeah, that's the stupid stuff I think about.
And you are historically, like you've said, I don't remember if you said it on this version or the first version or what have you, but you are more of a DC guy. So yeah, maybe we can kind of start there out of the current books. Cause like I said, you guys read literally everything that comes out, at least from DC and Marvel pretty much. So what is your scope of, like, as far as if you could just pick a couple books or either like maybe like two or three that you like, two or three that you're just not feeling at all right now?
Well, even just like this week, actually, you have a bunch of the ones that I really do like. Like Action Comics right now is really good. It's Philip Kennedy Johnson. And he started off, Bendis was on, you know, Brian Michael Bendis was on Superman and Action Comics when he came over to DC, and the stuff wasn't really hitting well. And you ended up having Action Comics being taken over by Philip Kennedy Johnson. And right now he has a story that is involving War World and Mongol. And it really is good. And anybody who had been reading maybe Superman or Action Comics and kind of fell off because of Bendis, which I can imagine because it wasn't great, that's one that I really do like. But right now, and like
so,
I said,
so that's the one that takes off from, because I had read that Superman and the Authority series. And at the end of that,
that's
one,
what it takes off.
He's got from, his little team and he's like, hey, exactly, we're going to War World now.
Yep, that's the one. And it's really good. Spoiler alert, not too much spoilers. It doesn't work out great for them right away. So, they're on War World. Again, so, there's some trouble.
Storyline as
there, yes, there's some troubles going on there, but it's really good. And I'm saying that if you had listened to the podcast or whatnot, not a huge Philip Kennedy Johnson fan per se, and didn't like the first bunch of issues that he did on Action. And he was doing Superman at that point, which then became the Tom Taylor, John Kent, Superman, Son of Kal-El book. But I wasn't really loving it. So the idea of it getting better, I really do think that it's good. But really, if anybody's listening and they aren't reading any DC, right now there are a couple really good Elseworlds things going on. You have DC versus Vampires.
That's the stuff I can get into nowadays.
Yeah, and DC versus Vampires, I really like. It's Matthew Rosenberg writing with a story by James Tynion. And what I've heard is James Tynion, because he's left DC pretty much and gone to a Substack stuff, it's mostly Matthew Rosenberg. It's really good. But one of the ones I really, really like, and I don't know if you're reading it or not, it's the Tom Taylor, the Dark Knights of Steel book, the medieval. It's Game of Thrones, but the DC universe. Really, really
good. Yeah, I believe Remzo's been talking that one up.
Yeah, I really like that a lot. And there's a lot of good ones. Flash is pretty good right now. It's not great, but it's pretty good. Nightwing, people love. Tom Taylor, again, doing Nightwing and stuff like that. And a lot of the Black Label stuff's good. But stuff that I'm not digging is pretty much Aquaman, Green Arrow, Deep Target. You ever read that? I just reviewed that last night.
No, I've heard your reviews of it, and that bad. I was good there.
I don't like that. I also really am not really digging the Aquaman, the Becoming. And I love Jackson Hyde. That's a Jackson Hyde book. And also the Black Manta stuff that's leading to an Aquaman book. I'm not really liking those. But most, it's weird.
Is this all because of Jason Momoa? Is that why they're trying to do 12 Aquaman books at a time here?
No, because you end up not even having Aquaman in them for the most part. It's Black Manta has his own solo series, but that's barely about him. And then the Aquaman, the Becoming, it's Jackson Hyde, which is fine, but it's not really about him. It's Zabellian politics. It's nonsense. But it some of these things drive me nuts. Now I'm going to get all fired up. But overall,
please do. No, that's why you're here.
Yeah, Joshua. Okay. Yeah. Joshua Williamson, though, just started a Batman run. And this is what kind of gets me. Me and Eric were talking about this just a little bit ago. Joshua Williamson is on Batman right now, but you still have the numbering. So if you're not involved, you have no idea that a new story has started with a new creative team, which kind of gets me. And I know that people get mad at constant number ones, But to me, again, me and you talked about it already here. You need that to allow people to know that they can jump into a story. And right now, Joshua Williamson's only two issues into his Batman run. It's pretty good so far. That's something that I would suggest people read.
I can get why longtime fans would cringe at the idea of a reset. But at this point, when everything's been reset so many times, it's kind of like, just tell me that there's a new start here. Because then maybe I will at least give it a shot.
And yeah, you'll have on the cover at points, you know, hey, new creative team, stuff like that. But here's the thing that I say. And again, I'm not a collector. Like you, most of the stuff I read, 100% actually is digital, but a lot of the stuff I read is on the apps, especially the Marvel app, which is way superior to the DC. But still, I end up where if you are a big fan, longtime fan, it's like that weird deal where people want the company to succeed, obviously, so you can keep getting things, but they always don't want it to succeed in a way that inconveniences them a bit, because if you could just sit back and say, hey, I could see why they're doing this. It's the idea of, oh, why is there all of these Batman books? Well, there's Batman books because they sell, and then you could have other books as well. But I think that it's become a deal again where it's hard to figure out what's going on, where to jump on, and things like that. And I wish that DC would realize that and give you something. But even something just recent, last week, there's a new Chip Zdarsky Batman book, Batman the Night, number one. That's a 10-issue series.
That's the one that Remzo was raving about.
Okay, yeah.
And it's
really
good.
So there's
two Batman Knight-related books.
I mean, there's going to be two.
Like, they know where the money is right now. Medieval shit and Batman.
Exactly. So medieval shit, Batman. Together. So, and Batman the Knight is pretty much a retelling or, you know, starting up a new deal of when Batman trained, when he ends up as a teen and then goes off to train to become Batman. So a lot of people I saw at the beginning of it saying, I don't need that anymore. I've read year one. I've done that. It's really good. It really is. And Eric was one of the ones on our podcast. He didn't want to talk about it on the podcast. And I said, no, it's a big book. And I already saw that. And he actually liked it as well. It's really well done. I love Chip Zdarsky, though. He's one of my favorite writers. So I ended up really digging that. And if you are, you know, reading Daredevil and the stuff over at Marvel and you want to jump into something at DC, it's an easy jumping in deal. And it's a number one. So you don't have to worry about that. But it is in continuity as well. It's the retelling of the deal. But yeah, there's a bunch of things. Teeny Howard, not a huge fan. Stuff and the X stuff over with the whole Excalibur book at Marvel. She just started a Catwoman run. So again, though, Catwoman 39, it should have just been Catwoman number one. It would have helped.
Especially Catwoman. Are you preserving the legacy of this Catwoman run?
And that's the thing. The weird thing about it is I think that what they should do, and DC is so against doing anything that Marvel does, but yet a recap page, it's not necessarily a Marvel thing. I love recap pages. I love that beginning.
I love them
so
much.
When I get to a book, especially things that are delayed, which a lot are, it gives you that little deal. Okay, yeah, I remember. And then you go in. And that DC refuses to do that.
Let's face it, Jim. We're not youngins anymore. We're getting old. I can't remember what's going on.
I can't remember anything. I end up with, like, I read stuff the day before we're supposed to podcast. I got to reread it. I can't remember stuff. I'm like, what is this Catwoman? But yeah, so the whole idea of that, they won't do. But hey, if you want to do this, put the legacy number on there like Marvel does. You just do that. I know that it's not the same, and I know collectors, it drives them nuts, whatnot. But
and hey, you can get the best of both worlds, like Marvel always does with Venom. Like, they keep restarting the series, but then whenever they get to a legacy, they're like, hey, this is Venom 200.
I mean,
let's make more money.
Just to say that, the craziest thing is this week you have a legacy, I guess, 300 of Black Panther. That's issue number three. And they're treating it as a big anniversary. You're like, all right. But yeah, so why not do that? Because all it does, don't be fancy. This ends up like the whole idea if you have a business, like you don't wow them outside. You wow them in. You just get them in. Just let them know what's happening and then wow them on the inside. It's easy. And they seem to be against that. I don't understand. But again, like I said, where I'm telling Tanya, the idea that they don't really seem to have somebody, a creative head, that is there to kind of tell people stuff. It seems to be by committee, but maybe not. You never know. It's like a ship it's like one of them cars that drive themselves. I ain't getting in one of them. I'll end up crashing.
And then how much does some suit at Warner Brothers or AT&T or what have you have a say in things that they really know nothing about?
Exactly. So again, I mean, it's one of them ghost cars. That's what I always thought when I see a car going by. It doesn't. It's a ghost car. You can't convince me otherwise that there isn't a ghost driving that Tesla around. But yeah, I just don't understand. I don't understand. It's so simple to think of things that aren't that, you know, tough to think. You just get something going on and get people involved. But yeah, you have a lot of things like a Green Lantern run at DC right now that's going back, and it's kind of continuing and homaging the Green Lantern mosaic story that I can't find three people who read. And yet that's what it's been about.
I certainly have not.
No, and really, don't look for it on the app, because it was a guy who was real sus now, and you're not allowed to read his stuff.
One of them.
Yeah, exactly. So he's done. And so you can't even go back and read that. But yet, Jeffrey Thorner's writing it. He's like doubled up on this, where people argue with him online about it. And he won't give it up. He won't change it up. And the book, a lot of the books are failing because of that. And it's a shame.
So he's playing off a series no one can find?
Yeah.
I just want to be clear here.
Yes, he is. And it's a Jon Stewart series. So that's fine. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, when they hired him, people had already known him as a guy who had gone online on Twitter and just said how bad Hal Jordan is. And he's the worst character ever. And I hate him. And now they won't forgive him for that either. So the whole book, it's kind of a mess. But yeah, that's another one that I would maybe avoid. But you have a bunch of things coming up. You have this Trial of the Amazons is coming up. And there's a bunch of Amazon, you know, / Wonder Woman family type books going on right now. That's all going to lead to this big Trial of the Amazons deal. That's a big event coming up. And also you have some minor events. You have Shadow War is a crossover event between Deathstroke, Inc., Robin, and Batman. And then you have the War of Earth 3 with Teen Titan Academy, Suicide Squad, and I believe the Flash book. So a couple big things are happening. And then, of course, I mean, everybody's got to have heard the death of the Justice League that's coming up in a couple months, which I still think they're playing semantics with the whole idea where we're not going to have a Justice League book. I swear they're just going to change a title. And then we said Justice League. We didn't say we're not bringing back Justice League Detroit. And then you have Vibe breakdancing all around. You're like, no, yeah, I need that. That's what I want.
That's kind of like in pro wrestling when there's like a loser leaves town match, and then the guy loses the match, and he's like, you can never wrestle on SmackDown again. And then the next week he's like, now I'm on Raw.
Exactly. Yeah. Or they always have that little bit out, like career versus this. And you're like, well, I'm coming back as a different name now. Like, oh man, I'm going to shed that. But yeah. But with that, again, there's always good books to grab onto. And yeah, overall, I'm a little down right now with DC. But again, there's always something to grab. And everybody likes different things than me. And even right now, too, I didn't even mention, I'm not really loving it, but there's a weekly Detective Comics, very weekly event going on right now with Mariko Tamaki and Detective Comics with Arkham Tower. Arkham Asylum is a tower in the middle of Gotham City, which, yeah, that's going to work. You already see that it's all hell's broken loose.
That sounds like a great place to put it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's really, and also just get this. So I'll tell you, they have a tower built in the middle of Arkham City. It's an insane asylum with the most deadliest, you know, criminal serial killers in it. And yet nobody can find the, you know, where the head director ever went to school, or if he even has credentials, but they're just going to go with it. Then what drugs are you giving?
Because why worry
them
about such details?
No, why would you do that? No. Oh,
why?
The treatment.
Because comics would be
so funny. Like they're at a press conference. Well, what sort of drugs are you using for the treatment? Well, I can't tell you. All right. Like there's trouble here. But yet it just keeps happening. And that's it's the funny thing about the idea of like, when is trouble not happening in Gotham anyway? You get the hell out of there. The people who stay there.
Why does
are
anybody
insane.
Live here at
I
all?
Know. I mean, really, the only people who would be left hell. Would just be the people who just can't get out. But still, but with that, I want to know what you're reading right now.
Actually, a couple from DC that I've been enjoying. Well, one isn't Elseworlds. It's this book, Swamp Thing, Green Hell, by Jeff Lemire. And I there's only been one issue, I think. Maybe the second one came out, but I didn't get it yet. But yeah, you know, I really like the Elseworlds now, because now I just find myself, like, out of all the books you just mentioned, I maybe read two or three. Like, I find myself too overwhelmed to really get into any one book, any ongoing book for the most part. except for a few that I'll get into later. I am following a couple of Marvel books more so now, which is weird because I am historically more of like, I'm more of a DC Universe guy. Like when DC is going to do a big event, like I'm there. I'm not missing that event. But for some reason, just the individual Marvel books tend to guide me along, at least in the last couple of years recently. But I've really been enjoying the Swamp Thing Green Hell. It's about sort of this futuristic world where, of course, as these things happen, things have gotten a bit dystopian. And basically now, like, the world is trying to kill the remaining, it's something called the Rot, is decided that it wants to kill the remaining inhabitants of the world. So I don't want to spoil too much, but I will anyway, because why not?
Yeah.
It's been out for a few weeks,
Yeah, so that's
wondering. But this guy eventually goes to that version's John Constantine, who conjures up our old friend Swamp Thing, aka Alec Holland. And I guess in this version of the universe, he actually is Alec Holland, unlike in Alan Moore's version where he's not actually Alec Holland. He's just sort of a whatever. Go back and listen to our Swamp Thing episode if you want to hear more about that. But I've really enjoyed that first issue. And again, that's the kind of book I'm more likely to pick up. It's a character I like. It's a writer I like a lot. It's a number
so
one. And it's an Elseworld, so it's like, I know I don't need to, I can just enjoy this story and be done with it. And the chances are, like, if I read the first issue of this, as I have, I'm probably just going to finish the story, because I'm not worried that I have to get now 8, 9, 10, 12, 15, who knows how many issues. I can just enjoy it for what it is and move on with my life, which is a nice thing for me.
Yeah, I agree. And Jeff Lemire is one of my favorites. I love him. Absolutely. Did you read the Robin and Batman deal with him, the Black Label book that just finished?
It's actually finished. It's another three issues. Renzo's been talking up.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. It's so good. And again, we don't really deal with a lot of the Elseworld stuff on our podcast. We deal with mainly the incontinuity stuff, which is kind of a shame at points. But boy, you got to read that. But what else are you reading?
Well, the other one from DC that I've been checking out is Justice Incarnate, which sprung off from Infinite Frontier, which it's weird because I feel like I haven't heard a ton of hype about this book. Maybe because it's just one of those books where, yes, it's in continuity, but it's not really directly affecting the rest of the DC universe. But it involves like everyone cool and like throughout the DC multiverse, and it involves Darkseid. I mean, we got Captain Carrick, we have the Flashpoint Batman, Thomas Wayne Batman, we have the Calvin Ellis Superman, and it's just this wild event that I don't know what ramifications are going to actually come out of it or where it's going to head to, but it's really fun. And I'm finding it really, really enjoyable to just kind of, be there and enjoy the ride. Have you been checking that one out?
Yeah. And the thing is, it gets me angry because that is probably, me and you are reading that it's probably the most important book at DC right now.
The idea that
nobody knows about it. And yet Joshua Williamson is already been told, we've been told this, he is the guy who is the Infinite Frontier guy, and he's guiding the whole line of books. And so with that, he's the one who's killing the Justice League off. The only reason I think that they're doing this again is because nobody is paying attention to the biggest books that he is doing. And in that Shadow War that I said has Deathstroke Inc., also the Robin and the Batman, those are all Joshua Williamson books as well. And that supposedly, and in my mind, is going to lead more into that Justice League, Incarnate / Infinite Frontier deal. And it should be the biggest book out there. Everybody who's reading DC should be reading that right now. And I see you said you read the big events and things. You're doing it because
it is. I'm a sucker for a DC event,
and I believe,
so they've got me.
And in this, people can, hold me on it or whatnot. These books, Justice League, Incarnate, and before that, like you said, Infinite Frontier, going forward with this, these are going to be the thing that if we do end up rebooting, that's where it's going to happen. It's going to be a multiversal reboot. And at the end of Death Metal, when you came out, the idea that Wonder Woman sacrificed herself to open up the timeline and things like that and create a new omniverse, they called it at that point.
Right.
The problem
everything
is,
matters, which
everything
kind of
matters,
could be interpreted as nothing matters.
Yeah, nothing. Exactly. If everything matters, nothing does. But with that, this is where now I'm going to get angry, because when we came out of the Death Metal, we ended up going to Future State, which I think was a big mistake. All it did was gum up the works, ended up
it
getting
made
people,
things very confusing.
And
like, I was ready for a reset,
That's
here,
what
here
you,
I am, ready to
that's
hop
what
on.
Need it. And that's and so when you do this possible future, no, you're coming out of something that you are telling us you are going to revamp the timeline to open everything up, give us 2 months of what that meant, do that Infinite Frontier deal. And then when Infinite Frontier came out, big book, nobody paid attention
because they ended up like, oh, well.
And in that book and in everything, that's where all the big things, you know, you have a Wally West Flash book because Flash at the moment, Barry Allen, is taken away. He's missing right now. He's in the crack in the mold. Like all these things, like you said, Darkseid, all this stuff going on. It's really good. And it's a lot of fun,
but it's
going to lead to the big thing. But again, it kind of upsets me, the idea where we have now two miniseries. We'll probably get another. Why not just do a long run of something? Maybe like a 52, something
give
where,
us a 12 issue, make
exactly,
it a crisis event.
Yes, that's what you need to do. And I think we'll get to that eventually. And I mean, stuff, if you had been reading, say, the Grant Morrison Multiversity deal, this deals a lot with that stuff, including the open hand, the empty hand, all that stuff in the great darkness. All this stuff is huge. And there's me and you reading it saying, why isn't anybody like this stuff is not just, you know, just some side book stuff. This is, like you said, this is crisis stuff.
And I'm the guy that rarely follows modern books. Like there's a reason we read older stories, because that's kind of what I enjoy going back and doing much more. So when I'm really following, and I almost look at this, I'm just extending this. This is the same to me. This is the same series as Infinite Frontier. It's just extended.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is.
I mean,
it's
when
just
I'm hooked, that says something. And I'm paying money for these books. I mean, I'm actually spending money on these ones.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. Like when you talk about it and you use one of the, they're connected. They go right into each other. And that's where I think you're going to go from the end of Justice League Incarnate, I'm guessing will lead into the death of the Justice League, Justice League 75. And then when April comes and we get, you know, all the solicits going on and stuff like that, May, June, whatever, I think that we'll see another series until we get to this big event. And at that point, I'm afraid that a lot of people aren't going to be caught up with what's going to be going on, because, you know, here's me and you. I say it every time we talk about it on the show. I don't hear anybody talking about this book, and it should be the big thing. Also, that includes DC. What are they doing?
No, that's what's getting me. I'm not even seeing them pushing it as this big deal.
It seems like an afterthought, and that's, you can't have something that is that big be an afterthought, because I think that they're trying to play every sort of angle and every game all at once. And that's not how you win. You know, you end up, you don't want to rock the boat here with these fans and that, but we need an overall, you know, continuity and synergy with the books. And I think that it's starting to come up. I think that those new solicits with this I think the Justice League's actually going to be canceled so that they can end up, like I said, having people actually pay attention to this book. And I'm like, when I said about the semantics, like we said, no Justice League book. Well, you have a Justice League Incarnate. That's not a you know what I mean? And it's kind of silly with that. But, and also, just a little aside, I have read the next chapter, issue of Justice League Incarnate, and holy moly, you're going to flip your lid. So, and I love it. I think, and that's the sort of thing, like,
it's just really the book I've been looking forward to the most to for the last couple, I mean, really since it started.
And I'm talking to you about it right now. I'm getting excited. That's the thing that DC, a lot of times, you know, when we're doing stuff, and I don't feel a lot of people as excited for the books as I like when Rebirth hit, holy moly, it was like a party. Everybody was loving everything. And again, that stuff started going sour, but still I like that. And I hope that what ends up happening is at least, you know, we have an event that will lead to some things being straightened out and get some new people on, start with new creative teams and new number ones would be great, just to get more people involved. This is what I want.
I mean, if they play it right, they could get me back more. Cause I mean, when Rebirth came out, I was reading like 9 or 10 books. I was like, great, new number ones, new directions. I'll give it a shot. I'm in. And, then, you know, as we've discussed, then things went where they went. So now I'm not quite as in, but there's a lot of potential here. There's obviously, I mean, they have this dearth of characters, so there's always going to be the potential. It's just about what they decide to do with it.
Yeah, and I hope that this whole Everything Matters and the open timeline, you know, we'll get a Justice Society book. A lot of people want that. But just the idea of having some good books that, you know, kind of have a good feeling about them. And again, like most people, a lot of people, when they Rebirth, oh man, this is great. Everything's hopeful again. We have Wally West back, but they didn't do much with him. And then that Heroes in Crisis nonsense, I think, was a death knell for a lot of people. Just like, really, you're just killing
that
people.
That took me out for about 6 months.
Yeah. And people don't agree with me.
I mean, I was almost, I think maybe death metal started and then I read that, but I was just like, how did they publish this?
Who even,
who approved this?
Like, and Dan DiDio nonsense. But again, that's the other idea with the idea of DC. Like I said, without having that head, you know, Dan DiDio, people hated him. I mean, they legitimately hated that guy, but it felt like they hated him and not DC. He was like the manager of like a rock band. He's the guy who could be the asshole so that the band looks good. But, you know, you point at him, but now it's just this like empty anxiety and yelling that people just are getting fed up and don't know what direction or who's in charge and things like that. And it's a shame. But like you said, there are some things still. And you always can have the Elseworlds stuff. And really, Tom Taylor doing any Elseworlds stuff is always going to be solid gold. And that seems to be, you know, his wheelhouse and stuff like that. Even right now at Marvel, he has one just finishing up.
Well, I was just going to say, that's a great transition. We can head right over to Marvel now. And because have you been following the Tom Taylor's Dark Ages?
Yep. Yep.
I mean, I'm asking these questions like I don't know because I know you are.
Yes, every issue. Yes.
I'm just playing podcast host.
Here's the deal. The only thing that I'm not reading.
We're going to open the curtain a little more.
Yes, the only thing that I'm not reading really at Marvel now is the X books. I ended up trying. I was never, again, I started late in life and whatnot, never really had read many of the X-Men books. And I ended up jumping on with the Jonathan Hickman stuff. And I tended to, and I was doing a podcast for it. And ended up doing it on our Marvel deal. And at the point I started not liking a couple books and I dropped them. And then I thought, you know what? If I'm not going to do all of them, it's silly to do a podcast. You know, you have an X-Men podcast, you should do them all. And like I usually do, then I stop that and just never look back. I didn't read any other. But other than that, I'm, you know, reading almost all of the Marvel stuff. And I'll tell you, I'm more of a DC fan, but I'm liking a lot more Marvel books right now than I do DC. And, you know, that's kind of big for me. To say that because, again, I really do like the characters and stuff with DC. But right now, I think that the writers at Marvel, I think that they're a little bit better overall, just a broad, you know, sense of it. But what are you reading?
Yeah, so I've got a couple of Marvels that I've been checking out. I did just wrap the Kang series that I know you were reading as well, which just kind of transitioned into this, what is it, Timeless, how they call it?
Yeah, Timeless. Yep. Yeah, that Timeless
basically
number
just
one.
More Kang doing more time travel
doing
stuff.
Doing Kang stuff.
Doing Kang things. You can tell Marvel's really pushing Kang because, you know, as we know, like Marvel Comics is largely just, you know, promotion for upcoming movie properties or TV properties. And as we know, well, Kang already did appear in the Loki show and is also going to be the main villain in the Ant-Man and the Wasp or the Ant-Man 3 or whatever it's going to be called. So clearly they're hyping up Ant-Man and hyping up Kang, that is, in the eyes of the public. I'm sure they'll be re-hyping up Ant-Man for us again soon. It's funny because Remso and I we just did a Morbius episode because we were going to be hyping up before they move Morbius back again. And then we realized it was actually 2 years ago that they put out this Morbius book because they were trying to sync that Morbius book up with the timing of the Morbius release 2 years ago. Yep. And then here we were.
Was that Vita Ayala? Is that who wrote that? Was that the Morbius deal? I can't remember.
This was just a one shot.
I know there was a weird series that came out, but that was like right before, again, the shutdown and things got kind of wonky. Right. But yeah, the Kang. But then I'll give kudos to Marvel. They actually do give that a shot, where DC, they're always a step behind and stuff like that. And even you have that new Naomi show and you end up, you know, people getting hyped for that. And then, yeah,
I still, to this day, my only exposure to Naomi are Jim Werner rants about Naomi.
Yeah, about me yelling about it. I'm like, it's the idea. And I always have to say, I love the character, but Brian Michael Bendis, I don't know what, he just wanted to extend everything. And everything was like, here's a collection deal of, this is Naomi's first sandwich she ate. So that went up and it just kept doing that. But you have season 2 of the book coming out, which first off will get confusing to people who are watching season 1 of the TV show, but the book isn't even out yet, but the TV show is, and they're a mess sometimes. They ended up at one point where the Supergirl show was coming out, didn't even have a Supergirl book even out at that point.
Amazing.
They're always
at least give
like
us a
that.
One shot. I mean, put some effort.
Exactly.
show up to the game.
Now, I will tell you that a lot of times when you know a movie's going to come out, what happens, and it might be that Morbius as well, is when you get a Ralph Macchio issue of a character, and not the Karate Kid, but the idea that the editor slash writer, Ralph Macchio, if there's a movie coming out, he will get a one shot. And I'll tell you right now, avoid them. They're not good. I never have liked one, but you ended up Black Widow and stuff all like that, that he's, and something's coming out. I think he has like a Doctor Strange one coming out now in the next couple months, and it just, I don't like any of the ones that he did, but that's always to me.
Doctor Strange's Multiversal Adventure.
Exactly. And then I sit there, well, Ralph Macchio's in town. I guess that movie's coming out. So at least I know, though, and they do that well enough. And with the TV shows and things like that, they do tend to push some things. You have a Kate Bishop book out right now, right after the Hawkeye deal, stuff like that, which I don't really love the book, but still, at least they're doing that. Maybe you can get some new people involved that might, you know, hey, I just watched the TV show and I'll go and do that. DC, not real good with that, which sucks. But what else are you reading?
As you know, there was recently a swap where Donnie Cates and Al Ewing kind of swapped books. Mm-hmm. Although already on Venom here, or on Venom, we already seemed like we've fully switched to Ram B.
No,
so I don't know if Al Ewing was just kind of, I don't know what went on there. First it was Al Ewing taking over, then it was an Al Ewing and Ram B production, and here I am opening issue 3. And I'm like, nope, no more
exactly.
Al Ewing. So I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if that was just a bait and switch, because I wouldn't have just read in a Ram B book.
Here's the crazy thing. Next issue's Al Ewing, but then he jumps off. It's just a one shot. And then Ram B comes back on. And I'm with you, because I wanted to see what Al Ewing was going to do. And they
right.
did that double issue, that first deal. But yeah, I'm not a real huge Ram V fan. I'm really not. And I know that I get so much guff for it on our podcast.
I feel like I kind of got it's been a few years, but I feel like this is kind of like, this is probably before your time, or after your time, I should say. But I feel like this is a Tinder where someone, has sort of dressed themselves up, put them in a nice light, shows up to the date. They're actually 50 pounds overweight. They said they were, they're not being honest about it. So they tease me. They get all sexed up here with Al Ewing, and then Ram B shows up.
Swipe, right? You're like, oh right. No. Though I'll tell you, of the two, Ram B a little sexier though. So we went real there with it, but still, I'm with you though. And actually, we brought that up the last episode that we talked about, that last issue of Venom, where I'm like, well, I'm enjoying this enough, I guess, but.
That's kind of where I'm with.
Where's Al Ewing? I want to see what else is going on, and he's nowhere to be found.
It's like I'm still expecting that girl I swiped on to swipe.
Exactly.
To show up,
you're like
maybe
looking.
She'll come next time.
And I'm like, oh, where is she? I know you have that same name, but you can't be her. I saw that picture. But yeah, that is weird. What about the Hulk? Are you reading that with Donny Cates?
Yep, I'm on the Hulk as well. Mixed thoughts, but
it's weird.
It's weird for sure. There's basically, but Bruce Banner is now controlling the body of the Hulk, and I guess using energy created by putting the psyche of the Hulk through crazy things like fighting giant sized Wolverines and then things like that, and also using that energy to travel the multiverse, where he, of course, meets an alternate universe version of Bruce Banner. So I'm like, I'm interested. I'll say that. I'm not, but same thing with Venom. I mean, I'm kind of interested to see where this might go, but I'm not necessarily blown away. But there's enough of a track record, especially with Donny Cates, that I'm willing to let this play out.
I'm with you. And Venom, Ram V, maybe kind of starting to get a little boring for me. But again, he's very wordy, very narration heavy. Donny Cates, on the other hand, it's so much is going on. But it's all action, and I swear, my mind is just spinning when I read it. But by the end of even the last issue, where we see, he's on that planet with President Thunderbolt Ross and stuff like that, I'm like, okay, that's cool. But I don't know if you saw the solicits in the news where it was announced that coming up, Donny Cates announced that he's going to give Hulk his version of Null. And I'm like, we don't need that, Donny Cates. You don't have to go with the King in Black stuff, but you are getting it almost. Yeah.
It's almost like we sort of got that in a very weird esoteric way.
Yeah.
With the whole Green Door story that Al Ewing just finished up.
With the Green Door. That's exactly what people said. You ended up having the Down Below, all that. That was that. So why go back to that? Well, but we'll see. And there were kind of hints at it in the last issue. You saw this, dark Hulk there that seemed to be of the mind even. But that book, like you said, I love Donny Cates and I do trust him. So I'm giving him, the benefit of the doubt, because unlike a lot of people, I really like the Thor run that he's doing now. A lot of people seem to not like it. I don't understand.
I don't either. I've enjoyed that since right from the get-go.
Yeah. And I really liked the Donald Blake stuff that he was doing. And that's a Donny Cates steal. You go and think back and make a clever way to make something work in the now. And I thought he did a really good job with that.
I mean, he really did a phenomenal job doing that with Venom. Really updating the character, not erasing anything, just building upon it and turning Venom into potentially, like in many ways, the Eddie Brock Venom, if he is or is or not alive, maybe that's a spoiler alert, into basically a god, into potentially one of the most powerful characters in the Marvel Universe, essentially having the power of Null, who almost killed everybody as sometimes happens.
Exactly. And that's the thing with the, you know, is he alive or is he dead thing? That's what we have to wait for Al Ewing, because it seems like he's doing the Eddie Brock stuff. So he's on the sideline. I'm like, come on now, let's just get Al Ewing and see what he has. And what he's going to do.
So that's how they're dividing it up. That makes sense.
That's what I think.
It doesn't make sense
now.
Really, but it doesn't make sense creatively.
It doesn't make sense why they did it, because, you know, you didn't have to. But yeah, it seems like Ramvee, it's almost like they ended up drawing straws and Ramvee's like, oh, I get Dylan. Oh, man. And then the next thing you know, it's like,
kid.
And that's all it is.
And a cat? Really? Are you sure we're doing a cat?
Sleeper? What's going on? And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, and by the way, Eddie's going to be dead now. You know, he's like, oh, man, I got a vacation coming up because he hasn't been doing much. But
meanwhile, Donny Cates is like, I just turned this guy into a god. What do you think?
I know.
I literally made him the most powerful character we've seen.
He's the king in black and he's done because he seems to be off in some alter. That's wacky as well. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see what Al Ewing does. Anything else that you're reading at Marvel?
Well, those and Thor I've been following as well. Pretty much Donny Cates and Al Ewing. And sometimes when I'm tricked into Ram V is what I'm following in Marvel. Yeah. But I have, and of course, I have been following that Kang and the Timeless. Mm-hmm. And I also have been following, I haven't gotten to the Spider-Man one yet, but I have been following this Fantastic Four life story. I've really been enjoying that. Okay. Like Fantastic Four has, and I, you know, I don't know. I've had mixed reviews on sort of remakes of characters I already know and love. Like I'm actually currently right now at Remzo's behest reading the Ultimate Fantastic Four, which I am actually enjoying a little more than I thought I would, but I still have that thing where I'm like, is this necessary? And I get why they did it, for the same reason that you and I got onto Rebirth or New 52 to bring new fans on, and it worked on Remzo. So I'm not going to criticize it from a business standpoint, but just from a creative standpoint, from my own fanhood, I'm saying, did this add any value to me?
Yeah.
Yes, some things are different, but I already have the original, so I don't necessarily need that. I don't really feel that way with this, actually. They did change some things, and I really like seeing the characters, how they could be done in real time, because that's what they do with life story. They basically take a decade at a time, and like time actually passes. So by this time, I think like Franklin is in his 30s, and Reed is like in his 60s. And it's just a really interesting take on the characters. And much like with that Swamp Thing series, I like that I can just see this one out. It's interested me enough. I'm gonna finish it and wipe my hands clean and then move on with my life.
Because
I have mixed reviews on the Dan Slott Fantastic Four. Like, I think he's got the tone of the team down. I'm just not loving the stories.
I'm not loving the stories either. Yeah. And I'm telling you, the Dan Slott deal, I keep trying to jump back in. I'll see something, go, that sounds interesting.
I want to it so bad.
Yeah, same here. And I'll read one, two issue, and I'm like, okay, this is okay. And then it just gets back to something where I'm like, I really don't need to read this. And that's tough. And it sucks because I really want to read. It's funny because I'm going through the just the whole Ultimate Universe, starting with, you know, I have a reading order starting with Ultimate Spider-Man. And then going through, I'm only up to, I ended up like three issues of Team Up, the one with Wolverine, and then there's two with the Hulk, and I'm going back now to the Ultimate Spider-Man, and I'm enjoying it enough. I'm with you, though. When you're reading it, you're like, real necessary? Like, do you have
it's
to
different,
read this?
But not that different.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just like, and yeah,
kind
so
of, like,
I do like it
kind
enough.
Of an actual goblin.
Yeah,
I guess,
yeah.
It's
like, but yeah, I'm liking it enough. But again, like you said, there's a reason for it, and it makes total sense, and ended up doing really well. So I understand that. But yeah, I'm still trying to, and I'm like, I think I'm on Ultimate Spider-Man 7 now after the first, no, actually 8, the first 7 and then the 3.
Oh, so you're just
team
past
up.
Where we left off. We left
and
off
so,
after
yeah,
6.
Yeah. And so I go, and I'm still, it hasn't hooked me yet. I'm not like the point where I'm like, I need to keep reading this. Oh my God, this is great. I keep reading it, but
if you hadn't committed to a podcast,
exactly.
About it, you might be
on
the fence.
That happens a lot. But yeah, with that though, I like it enough, but it's just, it hasn't hooked me like you said. But again, that's a like we just said with Dan Slott. There's a lot of books like that. And some of the ones that are like big, like, are you reading any of the Avengers or the Avengers Forever or anything like that?
Shockingly at the time, that was the time when I was really enjoying Jason Aaron's run on the Avengers. And then his Thor run. So I did follow him into the Avengers, and it just turned me away. I just didn't like where that was going, and I've never come back.
I actually said at one point, the book feels like it's Jason Aaron Presents. It's not an Avengers book. Now, with this, though, you have this Avengers Forever, which, you know, is again, though, Jason Aaron has so many crazy ideas and does them, where this Avengers Forever that he's doing seems like it's a big, but it's not. I don't see anybody talking about it or
that seems
reading
to be
it.
Like the Jason Aaron staple since Thor, or even part of Thor, actually, because what was the name of that event where they're, you know, all the worlds are fighting each other?
The what's it called? War of the Realms.
That one. He does this job of making it feel like, or hyping it, I should say, as this huge event that means so much, but then not actually making it feel that way within the event itself.
Yeah. I mean, Heroes Reborn that he just did a little bit ago, that I didn't really hear anybody really enjoying that.
That's another one that I followed solely through your reviews. So if there's a book that you want to know about, but don't want to pay for, because you think you might hate it, don't worry. Jim's going to do this for you. So check out Weird Science Comics.
Okay. And I'll yell and scream. But yeah, actually,
I won't make those same guarantees. I'll do it for old stuff. I'm not going to,
Well, that's where I'll go. That's why I listen to you, because I want to hear the old stuff that I didn't read. So you end up with Avengers Forever, though. It's a little better so far. It's turned his regular Avengers book into a tie-in to that. It's weird, but it's not bad. And I mean, right now, are you reading Devil's Reign at all? The Daredevil deal? If you do, and when you do, you just read the main book, and the tie-ins aren't really dealing well with me.
Well, that's what keeps me away. It's like knowing there's tie-ins. I hate the idea that I'm going to see characters reference something. I'm going to have an asterisk. It's going to tell me to read this other book.
It drives me
nuts. I know I don't really need to, but I'm still going to feel like I need to, and it's going to drive me nuts. That's what happens.
Yeah. I mean, we end up on our Patreon, we end up having an events podcast, and I had to just say, we're only reading the main ones. I mean, there's some of these events are like 90 issues. It will never get done. So we end up doing those, and it still drives me nuts. So what happens is, if there is a editor's note, and especially the Marvel ones, I pull up the app, and I do end up at least paging through it, because it does drive me nuts leaving some of this stuff behind. But like, there's even like Death of Doctor Strange that should be bigger now, and I don't hear a lot of people talking about that as much either.
I've been afraid to read that one too.
I like it. I actually like it. But again, there's a bunch of tie-ins. I think the tie-ins are nonsense. But the main book, now, they spoiled the ending like a month ago, which sucks. I'm not going to say it. But the idea of, you know, Doctor Strange dying.
I can probably guess it.
And all that. And so, but it's, I like it. And Jeff McKay is one of those writers now, because he's doing Moon Knight right now. He's doing another Black Cat tie-in to the Beyond stuff right now. He's doing a lot of good stuff, and I don't hear a lot of people talking about him as much as one of the bigger writers right now. You hear the same ones, you know, being recycled, like you said, a Donnie Cates or an Al Ewing and stuff like that. But I think Jed McKay is doing really good, and that Moon Knight book is selling like hotcakes. That one is so, and that's pretty good. If you haven't been reading that, that's a cool.
I
one
should get into
out.
That one, because I can always I think get that into you a would good like Moon Knight it. Story.
And the Moon Knight stuff, it goes well with like some of the older Moon Knight things. That it seems to be at points you're like, oh, these are random one shots, but they all tie in, you know, into it eventually, and you see that there's a bigger story going on, but. Anything else you're reading?
Well, yeah, I mean, as you know, I'm a lifelong Savage Dragon fan.
Yeah.
So I always end up getting it whenever it happens to come out. Sometimes it's monthly. Sometimes you wait 4 months and you just never know. And that's just the way it is. And then I've also been checking out, just because I love the team in general, I've been checking out this book, We Have Demons, from Scott Snyder and his new line, along with Greg Capullo, that... I don't know. They had a 3-issue run, which kind of completed book one. So I don't know if there's if that's just another miniseries that's coming out, or if they're going to take a break, or I don't even know if there's another issue coming out next month. I haven't even looked ahead. It's just one of those books that I feel like I should be enjoying it, and I am, but it's also, I think it's so much because I just like this team and I like the look of it. And Greg Capullo can make anything actually feel cool.
Yeah,
but the story itself, it's like, yes, there's a little too much twists and turns. Like there's like two huge reveals in the first three episodes and through issue. Here I go with my episodes and issues.
Yeah, I get all screwed up too.
Yeah, but there, there's these two big reveals in those first three issues, and it's like, all right, this is a little, almost a little too much here. Like, you, this could have actually been, I rarely say this, but this could have actually been six issues and fleshed out a little bit more and made me feel a little more invested in the characters instead of just blazing through it. But Greg Capullo made it look cool, so you know, so it worked on me. And I do this, I do the Comixology Unlimited, so it's one of the books that you get with that. You know, so it, you know, it's, I see it as free, even though I'm giving them money every month. So I've enjoyed that one, and I enjoy a lot of those originals here and there. There's another one called The All Nighters. Who is that one by?
I don't remember. Actually, I believe Chip Zdarsky.
Oh, is that Chip Zdarsky?
Yeah, I believe it is. Yeah, I'm reading that as well. I really like that. I'm not caught up in that. Yeah. And I actually like a bunch of indie stuff like that. I get to, like, you know, I have like three or four or five issues to catch up with. A lot of those, like, I'll read the first two and really like it, and then I just end up waiting. And but again, I have Comixology as well, Unlimited, which I didn't know for a year. I was paying for the damn thing and had no idea, because I ended up paying for it on my iPad. So every month we'd get, and I have five kids, and these kids think that they could just use the credit card
these
for whatever they want.
All blend together,
I'm telling you, at one point, my one son, Rafe, was buying an extraordinary, insane amount of Madden points, and it was driving me nuts. And we'd get this Apple charge, and because it was through the iPad, it was going through that, I guess. Never knew what it was. And then at one point, like, I'm telling you, a year later, I'm like,
something again, whatever.
And what I would say to my wife, what's going on? She would say, oh, it must be somebody that has Apple Music and doesn't realize. So I was all confused. So then that Scott Snyder stuff was announced. I'm like, I'm going to get that Comixology. Can I get on? I'm like, log in. I'm like, oh, crap. It was this the whole time. So, yeah, I ended up. And again, that's why I did it for the Scott Snyder stuff. But that all-nighter, all those things I really do like. I love apps. I love just being able to just like go, especially the Marvel app is so great.
I'm with you. Remzo hates that I'm like this, but yeah, I mean,
the funniest thing, I do get to tell you now in person.
I get it. I like holding books too, but I don't like storing books. Or
yeah, I don't either.
Books or any
I read
of that.
I read a lot. I'm telling you, 99% of the stuff I read is after 10 p.m. And I just like sitting in the dark, and I have my tablet, and I just read. And that's the best for me. I don't want to have one of those, you know, crazy lamps that wrap around and nonsense and stuff like that. My wife will yell at me. But yeah, I read a lot at night. But one of the things that I was going to tell you at one point, that I had talked to Eric, and I said, I think I'm going to do this podcast where I get the Marvel app and I hit the random button on it, and then what randomly comes up, and then like 2 days later, I'm like, you son of a bitch. I thought you were listening to that. I was like, oh my God. Because
no,
I
didn't get that from you, believe it or not.
At that one point, no, because that you wouldn't have. Maybe I got the brainwaves from you, but yeah, I actually was doing that for a bit.
Oh, you just said that to him, not on the podcast, you mean?
Yeah, no. I never said it ever out loud. All I said was after a podcast, I ended up mentioning it to Eric, and Eric's like, you're insane or something. I'm like, no, I think it'd be fun. And then I saw you do it. I'm like, oh, you sent him a bitch.
And they took the random button away.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was going to bring it up.
But it just doesn't feel the same if I pretend to scroll through a bunch of, like, you know, I'm not really getting a random thing then. I'm kind of in a section somewhere.
No, and the random button gone killed me. And also the idea of, like, I hate the way it searches now too, as opposed to before, where I can just kind of, you like just go down a list and hit, like, I hate the searches that you need to know exactly what you're searching for, if that makes any sense.
And you have to have the space in the right place.
Exactly. I just want to go through things. And if I'm going through and go,
is there a colon before in this title?
Yeah, really.
Is there a space?
Drives me nuts. No, I keep yelling in that random button up. I think me and you are the only ones who used it. I thought it was cool.
I want to start a campaign. Bring back the random button.
Yeah, we need
that. It might just be me and you. Maybe Remzo retweet.
Yeah, and it, like you said, you can't really simulate that. It doesn't work. So, but yeah. At the one point, I was just about, and then I'm like, I'm not. Oh, you dumb. I should have done it 2 days before. I would have sued you. Can I sue you for that? I can get some
in
clicks
podcast
or something.
Court, I believe so. Yes.
The podcast court. I can do that. No, I don't think so. But yeah, the idea with indie books, I don't read a ton of indie stuff, but it's because, you know, do so many podcasts and so many other things. But I do end up where, instead of indie, where a lot of people did, you know, branch off, a lot of people are leaving. If they leave, you know, DC or Marvel, they still want to read comics. And obviously they go to some indie stuff. And it is, again, you get a lot of new number ones. You get a lot of fresh things and going. But I actually, just to, you know, wrap things up, if we are, I've read a lot of manga lately, and I know that there's a lot of kickback with comic fans, especially the big two, where they're like, oh, that manga, like it's the big devil or something. It's going to ruin everything. But I actually love reading manga. And speaking of apps, just the deal, you end up having the Shonen Jump, which is one of the big things each week. You end up the app, you get everything day of. It comes out and it's $2 for everything. You get everything for free. They don't even have, like, they have a print magazine in Japan, but the translated stuff you just get it the day it comes out on that app, and it's $2. It's the best deal.
Well, I might just get that on principle alone.
It's awesome.
Jewish, Jim. I can't turn down a deal. Like, I don't.
I'm telling you. Same here. When I'm sitting there, I am so cheap. But when I see that $1.99 come out, I laugh. I'm like, oh my god, that's the best. Because I read a lot, and all old stuff. Pretty much all the stuff you can want. So if you ever were just interested and say, I want to see what's going on with that. And there are hurdles with it, you know, reading it the opposite way and things like that, that you do get used to. But there are some really, really good stuff for people. And again, it's when they think of manga, they think of it being one thing. It is like indie because there's all different sorts of, you know, variations and genres and stuff like that. But I really am into that as well right now. I have a podcast that I do that on as well each week. And yeah, I just like all comics. It's one of those things where I can't really sit and watch a TV show or a movie a lot of times. My attention span is horrendous, but I can sit and read a comic and there's pictures and I enjoy it. And it's just fun. I like it. My wife.
What's the last comic related movie you did happen to see?
Well, I ended up watching Shang-Chi, and it was for a podcast. It was the last thing that I ended up watching a couple weeks ago, though I have been watching. I did watch the Peacemaker TV show. So I did end up watching that because people were telling me I should watch that, and Eric liked it. But yeah, Shang-Chi was the last actual movie before that, Suicide Squad. But these are things that I do when I have to, and it takes me a while. And it's, but again, I didn't really love Shang-Chi. I was actually disappointed by it, but I know a lot of people loved it. So I don't want people to hate me, but I was not real thrilled with it. But I'm also a big fan of, you know, old school kung fu and karate movies and stuff like that. And so the scenes and stuff didn't.
I liked it I found it fun and I found it enjoyable. Yeah. And a movie I could watch with like my not as into comics wife or stepson, and they dig it. But if I was looking for Shang-Chi, the comic character, I would have probably not been happy with it.
Yeah.
I just kind of gave up that idea going into it.
And that's my problem too. I'm actually liking the Shang-Chi book that's coming out right now from Gene Luen Yang. And I do like Shang-Chi as a character, not my favorite character, but I do like him. And yeah, like you said, it was more of like, okay, we're going to have the watered down version here. And we'll kind of, yeah, that's what you expect though. You end up getting the movie version is often like that. But yeah, I was not a huge fan. I ended up getting very angry when I was talking about it, about some of the plot holes. But again, that's the thing when I yell at people about it and they just keep telling me like, you just have to have fun. I'm like, I don't know that I can do that. I never have fun. So unfortunately, but no, I really like Suicide Squad. I really like that. Before that, I think it was Black Widow, which was okay. It wasn't great, but it was okay. But yeah, some of the things, though, like a Guardians of the Galaxy, one of my favorite movies of all time. I love that movie. And again, you know, everybody has their favorites or whatnot. Star Wars is my thing, though. And Guardians of the Galaxy ended up really playing off like I had that kind of feeling. Plus, it's one of those weird things. I went with my kids and two of my kids were the age around where I watched Star Wars and they really liked it. So I got that, you know, vibe from it as well. But right. You know, all that stuff.
Well, this is the way I look at movies right now, because I'm here in Mexico. And for my wife and I to go see the movies, it costs like something like 200 pesos total, which is like $10. Okay. So to me, it's like my bar for what makes that worth it is so much lower than in the U.S.
Yeah.
And snacks aren't that expensive either. It's like a couple of bucks of popcorn and a soda. So, you know, you go to the movies in the U.S., you're spending 25, 50 bucks, especially if you have kids, yeah. You have to have someone, you know, whatever. It turns into a whole thing. Here, it's just like it's like a $10 night out. So I'm just like, if I even enjoy it a little, I'm pretty much happy with the experience because it got me out of the house.
Legitimately,
to see popcorn, you know.
Yeah, the last movie that I went with, our family went, and now this, it was Man of Steel, and it ended up, you know, when that came out, it ended
up. That's been a while.
Yeah, well, I have five kids, all five boys. We ended up going. It was for my birthday. We went and we got snacks and things like that. And it legitimately, at the end, cost us $140. So when people talk about...
almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And it was insane. It was insane. So, yeah. And so when we ended up and I'm watching it and I have that weird deal where people love that movie and I have that, like, I have that
rage. My birthday, I got to spend $140.
I had that rage and I had to spend that much money. And oh my God, I was so upset. My wife did it, you know, God bless her, but she never told me at that point, like, how much we had spent. And then I found out and I flipped, especially because halfway through the movie, I think her and three of the kids walked out and sat in the lobby. I'm like, kill somebody.
That's the funny thing about presents when you're married. You're like, you know, you've combined your finances legally in some way. And so any present you get, it's pretty awesome. But you're also thinking, how much did this cost?
Yeah, exactly. It's no fun anymore. It's your money. You're like,
how much money do I have to go make to make
again? It went on our podcast when we're talking about things and all with that. That's why I don't always spell it out, but that's why anytime I talk about food, it's always buffet because I have too many kids. We go to McDonald's, it's 50 bucks. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's insane. But yeah, the movie, so it's never really, I was never a huge movie guy. Maybe in the 80s, I was more movie guy, but you know, since then and whatnot, it just takes a lot out of me. I'm telling you, I have problems.
It's a commitment.
Just remembering stuff and taking it out. I sit there and I'm like, I'm watching. I'm like, I got to go food shopping later. And then I'm looking around. It is tough. But again, that's just me. I when I do end up watching things, you know, I hope that I enjoy them. And some of the stuff, like I said, Peacemaker, you know, it's pretty fun. And I like John Cena.
It's really fun, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I know that some people aren't a huge
John Cena fans,
yeah. But I love John Cena. I love him. But yeah, and again, that comes with the wrestling and stuff like that.
The more bulky and ridiculously muscular he gets, more hilarious. The more hilarious
everything gets. Yeah. And again, this is the idea. If you are a wrestling fan, you end up where people laugh and whatnot. And then all of a sudden I see people like, oh my God, John Cena, he has some emotion to his acting and things like that. He's really good.
Yeah, that's
like,
why he got famous from doing this other kind of thing.
Exactly. And the wrestling, you get it? Like, that's it. And yeah, they don't realize. But yeah. But yeah, again, I always find something to read. There's always something out there. And like I said, that's why I love you guys, because of the idea where, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm down on some of the new stuff and then listen to you guys talk about something old. And then that gets me all excited and stuff like that. Because again, we all love comics and stuff like that.
Sure, so, of course. We certainly wouldn't do this
Why would we? Holy moly. But yeah, I would sleep is what I would, because people even say, like, oh, you must hate comics. I'm like, really? Like, you think that we do all this because we hate them? I mean, yeah, we might want them to be better, but yeah, it's all the nonsense. But I'm sure that
And hate is part of the love when you really love a medium or whether it's a sport or a team. Like, hating it is.
I always go with the sport. So, yeah,
yeah, right.
I'm telling you, I'm an Eagles fan, and I've probably not been more angry at, you know, anything in my life than the Eagles at points. But that doesn't mean that's because I love them. It's the same I say to
my
kids.
Same goes for friends. You know, you yell at friends in ways you wouldn't yell at some person on the street, but it's because
I say to my kids, I love the Eagles. I don't say it to them. I love those Eagles, but no.
You should play for them someday, so I love you the same way.
And that's the thing. Here's the deal. I love the Eagles, right? They all know this. So, of course, two of my kids have to be Dallas Cowboy fans. I'll strangle them. And then out of nowhere, my one son, big Cleveland Browns fan. I'm like, why isn't anybody liking the Eagles? And also, like, anything. I like the Sixers. My son, who's really into basketball, he likes the Atlanta Hawks. I can't win. Nobody will ever like what I like, but that's the deal. But yeah. Yeah, like you said, though, it is that fanatic deal. And I'm just saying, it is like a sports team is how I look at it.
Exactly. Well, you can all find out more about what Jim likes and doesn't like by following the 1 billion podcasts. Well, at least, I don't know. I'm a patron, so I guess my feed never ends with podcasts that come in from you guys. And Remzo and I like to say we're the best value in Patreon, you know, in comic book content. The truth is that's a lie, and you guys are by far the best value. If we just, because you guys, I don't know how, I really don't know how you do it. I guess the coffee and the NyQuil.
That's all it is.
I mean, it is. But you pump out so much content that if you're a fan of comics, you will find content that Jim and friends are producing over at Weird Science, because they just about cover anything you could possibly imagine. So maybe just run through all the standard stuff, where they can best follow you guys, find you guys, and keep up with everything you're doing.
Yeah, it's just, Weird Science DC Comics is our DC podcast. So you can look up that Weird Science Marvel Comics. It's all Weird Science. That's the, in Weird Science Manga podcast, and then also the patreon.com/weirdscience. So you can go over there. Like you said, we have a ton of stuff over there, and seriously, you end up in the Patreon, you're probably going to end up on a podcast, because that's how things work. If anybody says to me like, hey, I want to do that, I'm in. Also, that's the thing that drives me nuts and gets me into, if anybody has any ideas, I'm always for them. I'm like, okay, I'll do that. So yeah, we try to do a lot of stuff, but you guys do your fair share as well. Again, going with that concept of not just asking people for, hey, give me a handout.
Content. That's always important to us. We want to be providing value, not just saying, please give us money, although we do want the money, of course.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the best. But again, even at the point, that is what makes you justify the deal. But yeah, right. I don't know. I think that it's, a little older type deal of wanting to give people the value and stuff. And that's what,
And at the end of the day, it's all something we enjoy doing. So we want to keep enjoying doing it. We wouldn't be doing it if we didn't enjoy doing it.
Nope.
But when people actually send us their hard earned money, which still kind of boggles my mind that anyone wants to hang to talk about comics.
Seriously,
it's kind of absurd.
I know. Yeah, it is.
But we want to provide value for it. We don't want to just say that we're, we don't want to just say thanks. We want to really, give them something, even if it's something ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's the thing. It's totally ridiculous. It blows my mind. And with that, though, I feel very committed to, give that value too. So that's basically
right. Yeah, once they start paying you, it's like, well, now I really have to do this. It's a job.
And at points, and I
not
know
a very
that you would
paying
say,
job, but it's a job.
Yeah, but it's a job. And even with that, at points, there are times when you don't want to, you don't feel like doing anything. You're like, oh, I don't want to. But then I just get fired up, because then I think, you know what? These people actually like, what we're doing. So yeah, that actually inspires you to go and
it
stuff
all goes
like that.
In emotional cycles. That's the hot podcast.
Oh, it is. I'm
one minute
you
never want to do it again. The next minute you're doing 10 hours of podcast.
Also, I would say that, the emotional bit of the end of the month into the next, like, oh my God, what's going to happen now? And see, I always expect everybody to bail. And like, here we go. Oh, well, but hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully they get enough of the deal. But yeah. Thanks for having me on, though. This was awesome. Now, I legitimately, just as a deal, I have to actually edit, I think, 6 podcasts when we're done here. But
that's how the sauce gets made. That's the part of the sauce that no one gets to see. Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst. I actually thought of that this past weekend. I ended up, because we had that 5-hour podcast, it ended up like 3.5 hours of editing. And I just, it's weird you said the deal, because I'm like in the middle of, I'm like,
they have no idea.
It was like this. Whoa. You know who else doesn't know? Eric.
Yeah. I hear some podcasts that you can tell they don't edit them at all. And sometimes I think to myself, like, I could be like that too, but I just can't do it. I think you're kind of like me. Like
I can't either.
Exactly.
I thought that this weekend I was going to, and what happened is we have, section of books. We get to the last section. I'm like, I could just kind of just go with the flow here, let it out. And I'm like, no, I can't. And then as I'm doing it, I'm getting messages again. If you're not, listening to us or whatever, Eric, my co-host, he's sending me messages. Just watch this show. Just watch this. I'm like, I'm going to kill you. I'm sitting here, and then I end up where, because we have an early access for a regular show. The problem is sometimes that we don't get done until midnight. And now I have to do the early access, which early means 4:30 a.m. where I'm still up to, editing, and I throw it out there. But again, like you said, I just sit there and like, nope, that's what people, do the thing and type. Yeah, exactly. I got to do it. So, but I say that when I'm actually done.
It's their fault, really. They've done this to us by giving us money in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. But it's weird. I like editing, but I hate editing. I actually don't mind it at points. But yeah, at some points, though, I'm like, oh, this is the worst. Like, really, I sit there. I could have done like 6 podcasts, and the amount of time that I did this one edit, it drives me nuts. But with that, I guess that's it. Again, I ramble and
that's
it.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's why we're podcasters, because we ramble.
It's exactly. Yes. And seriously, when I get done, I don't talk to anybody when I'm done. I just go upstairs and walk around.
I've done my
gloomy
talking for the day.
I'm like, hey, the mic's not on, baby.
Are you paying me?
Get in your room.
I need $5 a month if you want to talk to me.
Yes, exactly. She pays me on it. But yes, I will now shut up as I do.
No, Jim, much appreciated. Had an absolute blast, and I do. You were one of the first podcasts that got me reinterested in comics, and you're one of the very few that I listen to besides the one that I actually partake in. So keep up the great work, Jim. We really appreciate it, and continue. Join us in this journey where we strive to teach a young Latino boy, Remzo, to read, and we wish him the best. And in the meantime, we will continue to read comics.
Yes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.